hear about what happens in different churches. So thank you very much. Yes. I might just pray again before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. Thank you for his love he had for the Thessalonian church and all the things that he thanks God for in there. And just help us, help me explain it well and help us to learn from it and be changed by it. In your name, amen. So, what is your ringtone in life? You know, you have the ringtone of your phone, but also, what about the sound that you make? Your life. When someone hears about you, what do they hear? Oh, Rowan, that's me. Oh, he's the guy who loves bargains, or he grew up in Japan, or he's the teacher. For Dubbo, what rings out is the amazing zoo. Oh, Dubbo, it has the zoo. Or it has the cool jail, or the Warren Bungles just nearby. So what rings out of your life? And what rings out from the church? When people hear of this church, what do people say? Today in 1 Thessalonians 1, we see Paul thanking God for a ringtone change. What people hear about the Thessalonians has changed completely. And it's not caused by them either. It's caused by God. So the big idea of today's passage is God's power rings out. The gospel came to the Thessalonians. Their lives changed completely. Gospel fruit from God's power started to ring out and everyone was talking about it. I hope you can see that in the text today as Paul carefully and logically explains his argument in his letter. And a letter has to have a sender and a receiver. So, which is what we see in verse 1. So let's start by getting some context. Verse 1. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the first Christian missionary. He travelled all around the Roman Empire telling people the gospel. The good news about the risen Lord Jesus. Here he has two of his workers, Silvanus and Timothy. The letter is sent to the church of the Thessalonians. We hear about this church in Acts 17. Paul spends a short amount of time, maybe around 3 weeks, in a place called Thessalonica, telling the people about Jesus. A small house church is set up, but there are riots and severe persecution. So Paul and his friends have to run away. Not a good start to the church. Just imagine, you have just heard about Jesus. Paul says he's come back from the dead and he saves you from God's anger. And you believe. But then influential people from the town, like the mayor, come and they want to kill this Paul for disturbing the peace. So he runs away as a criminal. What would you do? No wonder Paul is worried. He's worried the Thessalonians have given up. That their trust in Jesus was short-lived. When suffering came, when he had to leave, they would fall away. So Paul sends his friend Timothy to check in with the young church. You see this in chapter 2. He was afraid, but Timothy comes back with good news about your faith and love. Paul is overjoyed, overflowing with thankfulness for this little Thessalonian church. Despite persecution, despite the intense suffering, they have not given up on Jesus. And Jesus has not given up on them either. It's easy to skim over the end of verse 1, but it is a wonderful encouragement. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in God, connected to Him. Suffering has not separated them from God's family. Paul leaving them has not separated them from God's family. They might be living in Thessalonica, but their true identity is in God. Same with you. You are in Dubbo, with people coming and going. But if you trust in Jesus, your true identity is that you are in God, connected to God's family. And wherever you are, whatever happens, that identity will stay the same. Like the Thessalonians, you are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul launches into a wonderful thanksgiving that goes to the end of the chapter. And so point one, Paul starts by thanking God for gospel fruit in the Thessalonian church. You can see it in verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has clearly made an impact on the Thessalonians. There's three cause and effects, which we can go through. So the first one, work produced by faith. So faith is basically trust. And for Christians, it's trusting God's promises, especially his promise of salvation in Jesus. And because the Thessalonians trust God's salvation, they can work selflessly for others' good. Their work is produced by their trust in God's promises. Labor prompted by love. Well, this love could either be God's love for the Thessalonians, it could be their love for God, or their love for each other. Or it could be a mix of all three. But all this love doesn't just stay passive, it actually leads to sacrificing time and energy for others. Labor prompted by love. And finally, endurance inspired by hope. There's no point work and laboring hard if you don't persist in it. So I remember one particular holiday that my parents and I went to. My family took on a 2,000-piece puzzle, which is very big, on a weekend trip. And it was a sunny weekend trip. We did not persist in the puzzle. And there was no point persisting in it because I think there were some missing pieces. So there's no hope anyway. It was hopeless. But the Thessalonian church endured. They persisted in their work and labor because they had guaranteed hope. They had the hope in Jesus' salvation. So they endured in their efforts to work hard for each other's good. Three cause and effects. Paul is saying the Thessalonians not only have faith, love and hope, but it bubbles out in work, labor and endurance. Which is interesting because you might think that those faith, hope and love are abstract themes. Things that you can't really see. Not practical. Paul seems to say they make a clear physical difference in the Thessalonians' lives. He can see them, or he's heard about them working hard, enduring, because of their faith, love and hope. And where do the Thessalonians find this faith, love and hope? Well, it's in the gospel, the good news about Jesus. They hear of the trustworthy, faithful God and his love, with a certain hope of his salvation. So they hear this gospel, they believe it, and it makes a practical difference in their lives. It bears gospel fruit. And so Paul is thanking God for that. You might actually want to keep a lookout for those themes across the 4 or 5 talk series in 1 Thessalonians, or if you read it at home, the faith, hope and love comes out throughout the letter. It's a theme. It's actually all throughout Paul's letters, faith, love and hope, because it's a summary of the Christian life. Faith in God, love for others, hope in Jesus. And here, Paul is so thankful that he sees that fruit in their lives, actively working, laboring and enduring because of their faith, hope and love. If you're a Christian, God's power is at work in you too. So why not over lunch today, you could tell someone how you have seen the gospel active in their lives. I thank God for that encouraging phone call you had. It really showed your faith. or your help on Wednesday really showed me your love for me. Let's thank God for gospel fruit in each other's lives, just as Paul did. But Paul isn't just thanking God for their gospel fruit. In verse 4, there's a connecting word, for. Paul is building his logic. And so point 2, Paul thanks God for gospel fruit because it shows God's power. God's power comes up again and again in verse 4 to 6. So Paul has two reasons he knows the gospel fruit is from God's power. First, it shows God's loving choice. Verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you. It wasn't like the Thessalonians said, "Alrighty-o, we're going to start working, laboring, and enduring." In love, God chose them to do these things by God's grace, undeserved kindness. Not because the Thessalonians are anything special, God's loving choice. Second, it is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. When Paul says the word gospel, he means the good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Paul came to the Thessalonians preaching this message. But when Paul was speaking the gospel, the Thessalonians heard God speaking. Through the Holy Spirit, when Paul spoke, God spoke to the Thessalonians. So it's God's power at work in their gospel fruit. Paul repeats this idea in chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. God's powerful word at work in the Thessalonians' lives. And the Holy Spirit has another role here that shows God's power. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1 again. Verse 6 says, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe sufferings with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gives the Thessalonians joy. Again, my family, we're not really that good an example, but we give presents. And one year, my sister thought it would be good to give me a brand new pair of designer undies. But they didn't fit. So that present did not give me joy. But here, the Thessalonians are given joy. I can't give an example of this joy because it's joy that's not from us. It's from the Holy Spirit. Joy that can withstand intense suffering. So all this shows God's power. God is at work in their lives. He brings God's word, He brings joy. And God's power is at work in you too. When you feel joy from knowing God's love, that is a gift from the Holy Spirit. When you hear God speak in the Bible, that is the Holy Spirit's power. When you endure as a Christian, despite terrible suffering or temptation, that is God's power in you. Thank God for this miracle that happens every day. God is not a distant God. He is closely at work in your life, bringing His word and His joy, His powerful works. And if you're looking into Christianity, where does your joy come from? And your desire to serve others? Because all humans want to be selfless. We want to do better. We want to love better, live better, have more joy. But only God can sustain your selflessness and joy. Accept His love, trust Him and His salvation, and His power will work for in you to bear sustainable fruit of lasting joy. So the gospel fruit in the Thessalonians is from God's power. He lovingly chose them. His Spirit brings God's word and joy. And that's why Paul is giving thanks. Not to the Thessalonians, but to God. God is the one who is at work in their lives. The gospel fruit is God's fruit in their life. Paul doesn't just leave it there, though. He has another connector in verse 7. And so, or as a result, to our final point, God's power wrings out change. Look at it with me in verse 7 to 10. Listen out for how many times Paul talks about their change being heard, known, or modeled. From verse 7. And so you became a model for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell five times. The Thessalonian transformation is the talk of the town, the district, the region, everywhere. Everyone is talking about their change. But notice in verse 8, Paul again links it back to God. He says, the Lord's message rang out from you. It's not the Thessalonians' power. It's God's power that has become known. It is the Lord's message. People are talking about the Thessalonians, not because they are amazing, but because God is. And what is this Lord's message in their life? What is being passed around? It's how they have changed. It's their total transformation caused by the gospel. So from the end of verse 9, they tell how you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Their transformation is captured in three words: turn, serve, and wait. They turned. No second thoughts. The Thessalonians do a complete 180. They were living for their idols, serving and waiting on them, but they have turned completely around. It's not like they had their idol and then they just added on the true and living God. No, the idols are completely out of the picture. They are behind them. They have turned to serve God. The second word, to serve. The Thessalonians don't go from serving idols to serving nothing, because then actually they're just serving themselves. Another very dangerous idol. They turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul deliberately shows the differences between the idols and the true and living God. He says, idols are dead. God is living. Idols are lies. God is true. Idols are many. God is one. But that's not the end. The Thessalonians also wait. Turn, serve, wait. However hard they work to serve God, they will never be complete. They will never be perfect on this earth. So they wait. They wait for Jesus to return, who will make everything perfect. Completely perfect. But while they wait, they serve. Both go together. So the gospel always has a future element. It's not just Jesus' death and resurrection that happened in the past that we trust. It's the knowledge we know that because Jesus rose from the dead, he's going to come again. And Jesus will come to rescue us from God's final judgment. The future element of God, Jesus' second coming, is actually another theme throughout 1 Thessalonians. It's in every chapter, if you can find it. So you might want to find Jesus' second coming in every chapter. And here, in chapter 1, it's right at the end of verse 10. We wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. The Thessalonians turn, serve, and wait because they trust in God's salvation. All throughout the Old Testament, God's salvation kickstarts the service of God's people. Same here. The Thessalonians received the gospel that God saves, so they turned, serve, and wait. In Australia, I don't know about you, but I find it hard to picture this, turning from physical idols. But I actually grew up in Japan, and I saw it every day, actually, in Japan. Millions of people literally serve food and bow to idols. So I'd be walking to school, and I'd see these little rock statues, and grandparents would knit beanies and gloves and put them on the rocks, give mini fruit salads or bowls of rice. And it's pretty cute when you see all the colourful rock statues. But it's also sad, because many Japanese people believe that these rocks are gods that will bless them and save them. And it's heart-wrenching to read in the temple the prayers that people write out to these gods. And what does God say in 1 Thessalonians? Only Jesus can rescue us from the coming wrath. Only God is true and living. In Japanese churches, you see this transformation. People turning from these false gods to serve the true and living God. Working hard because of their faith, love, and hope. They serve food to each other. They have lunch after church, like we're going to have. And they wait not for rocks to answer prayers, but for Jesus, who they know will return. He has risen and will come again. So, can you see how this transformation would ring out? Imagine a conversation in Thessalonica. My friend isn't joining us at the temple. He goes to church and serves the true and living God. He's waiting for Jesus, who came back from the dead. He's serving, working hard for all his Christian mates. What's happened? So it makes sense that everyone has heard of this miraculous transformation. And don't miss how much God is involved in this change. Again, it's not from them. They turn to God, serve the true and living God, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us. Just like the gospel fruit in verse 3, the faith, hope, and love, their gospel transformation of turning, serving, and waiting is all from God's power. So people are talking about the Thessalonians, not because they are amazing, but because God is. So if you have heard the gospel and trust in Jesus, that's the same for you. You have changed. And that's not you being amazing. God is. Gospel fruit in your life is God at work. Anything Christian that you do, if you prayed this morning, or read the Bible, even just coming here, is God at work. So look around and encourage each other. Be amazed at God's power ringing out from you and your friends, brothers and sisters' lives. And when God is at work, people will notice. God's power in you rings out change. So when you persevere in praying for rain, trusting God the Creator, when you use your words to love, when you sacrifice your time to care for others, when you feel deep joy despite suffering, that is all God's amazing power in you. And it rings out. People notice. That's God's power at work. And if you're investigating Jesus here today, have you noticed something different in your friends, in your Christian friends? Hints of selflessness or kindness, joy, not idolizing work or popularity? Well, let me tell you, they are not that amazing. they're not. They're not superhuman. I'm not. Because it's the gospel that is amazing. It's God's power at work. God doesn't choose good people, selfless, kind, joyful people. He chooses people and transforms them through his powerful gospel. Just like with the Thessalonians. He chooses people and they become more and more selfless, kind, and joyful through his power. God's power bears fruit in their lives. So you don't need to be good to turn to the true and living God. All you need is to trust that Jesus saves. He will transform you. He will help you rejoice as you serve God and wait for Jesus. Nothing compares to that joy that we get from the service of the Christian life. Will today be the day that you turn and serve God? Trust and wait for his salvation. So we've seen how Paul is so thankful for the Thessalonians. He sees their gospel fruit from God's power, bringing out change. And if you write notes, you could underline or you could just remember God's power. That is Paul's main point here. Gospel fruit is from God's power. It rings out change of God's power. And your life too rings out God's power. So what is your ringtone? If you believe the gospel, God is already changing it. Just by being here, working hard to encourage others, you are ringing out God's powerful change in your life. I need to keep remembering this. This God-powered gospel fruit. I have turned. I do serve the living and true God. I do wait for Jesus, my salvation. And that is God's amazing power. And it will ring out. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, true and living God, you are so powerful. Thank you for what we learnt from 1 Thessalonians today. You work in us, producing gospel fruit. Help us to persevere in our service. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us joy and confidence in your word. Thank you that when we turn from idols to serve you, it is your amazingness that rings out, not ours. Help us ring out more and more. Today, tomorrow, this week, for our whole lives, as we continue to turn, serve, and wait. Help us to persevere till the end, knowing the guaranteed hope of Jesus' salvation. In his name we pray. Amen.